All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Politics and Personal Development Show with Evan Transu. I am your host, Evan Transu. We are continuing our segment from last week, last Monday, that is, regarding the insanity in China. And what I did last week for the radio show segment was read from, not a script, but from news sources to share with you some of the things that are going on. In fact, one of them was not even a news source. We spent most of the episode reading directly from the United States government's website, their travel advisory for China. Pretty crazy stuff. And if you haven't seen that one, you don't necessarily have to watch them in any particular order, but I would recommend going back to that if you're interested in some of the things that are happening in that country that, I cannot say this enough times, is increasingly populated, the most populated country in the world, increasingly powerful, and that we owe a bunch of money to. And believe it or not, even though we owe them over $1 trillion, it's ironic, crazy enough, somehow, not even close to being the country with the biggest problem in terms of the debt that they owe China. There are countries that 80% of their GDP is basically controlled by China now. Kind of crazy. Russia and China did come out with, well, the idea at least of a reserve currency that would be belonging to them. And if you don't know this, the United States, we've held the reserve currency for quite some time. And well, we won't talk about that on this show. This is what I need you to do. Why don't you look up what would happen if everything stayed the same as it is right now, except now the new standard became the China and Russia thing. And that just might happen. We might just get to that point before we're able to solve any of this stuff, if we're able to solve any of this stuff. So what we're going to be doing first today is talking about China and Taiwan. I cannot not recognize that on this show. And then we're going to go back to the part I missed last episode, where we're talking about the Chinese secret, not so secret anymore, loans that they've been giving out to countries for a while. That's one you don't want to miss. Not many people talk about that. I don't really know how. It's not, again, as secret as it once was. But it's something pretty important, because the debt that the United States owes, or the fact that they produce a bunch of the active pharmaceutical ingredients that we rely on, all of that can be kind of linked to just, all right, well, it's a country trying to make money. It's not necessarily a country trying to get more and more power per se. But when you understand what's been going on with the loans that they've been doing for decades, then it's kind of hard to avoid the idea that China is making a deliberate attempt to gain more power and control over the rest of the world. And this is why I have episodes that are talking about the standards of living in China. Because some people, very few thankfully, but some people, mostly in my generation, have been indoctrinated, it seems, and I don't know where they get this from. Some seem to get it from certain colleges, not all of them, but some of them seem to get it there, that China is somehow something to strive towards. Now, I do not need to list off anything about China in this episode, other than the fact that there are 1 million Muslims and Christians being held in concentration camps right now in that country. That alone, even if everything else was perfect, that alone, you would think would be enough to deter anyone from striving towards being like China. But that is just one part of a list of many things that you would think would make it obvious that we shouldn't be aspiring to them. But that's not how this works, right? Because a country that is willing to hold people in concentration camps for their religious beliefs is probably willing to do some other pretty crazy things too. So anyway, China and Taiwan, we're going to get to that. This is from AP News. China said Monday it is extending threatening military exercises surrounding Taiwan that have disrupted shipping and air traffic and substantially raised concerns about the potential for conflict in a region crucial for global trade. The announcement further increases uncertainty in the crisis that developed last week with U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan. If somehow you haven't heard about this, I mean, it was pretty big on the news. I don't really know how you wouldn't have heard of it, but the reason I'm bringing this to you verbally, right, is because many people don't read, and I don't read everything either, so I'm not condemning anyone. But maybe you need to hear it for the first time. So what happened basically is Nancy Pelosi had said she was going to Taiwan. She was supposed to be going to other places, if I'm not mistaken. And when she came out publicly and said that, China made it very clear that they were not interested in that, to the point of there being threats of military activity. And they actually are engaging in military activity right now. They just haven't done anything like invade Taiwan, nothing like that. But we'll see what happens here. The exercises will include anti-submarine drills, apparently targeting U.S. support for Taiwan in the event of a potential Chinese invasion, according to social media posts from the Eastern leadership of China's ruling Communist Party's military arm, the People's Liberation Army. China claims Taiwan as its own territory, and its leader, Xi Jinping, I try to keep looking up how to pronounce his name, and it's amazing how many different sources you get even amongst the news. So the best I got was Xi Jinping, has focused on bringing the self-governing island democracy under the mainland's control by force if necessary. This isn't a secret. It's not a conspiracy theory. This is what they're saying. The two sides split in 1949 after a civil war, but Beijing considers visits to Taiwan by foreign officials as recognizing its sovereignty. And so China doesn't like that. China doesn't want that. And before I go any further, obviously, I would hope no one wants war. It seems some people have no problem with this, but I don't think they actually have no problem with this. We're able to somehow separate statistics in our head from actual people, right? It's one thing when we say, well, 1,000 people died in this war. It's another thing when that's our brother or our sister or our mom or our dad. Then it becomes a little easier to empathize and realize maybe we shouldn't be starting things in this world that end up in people dying. Now, I'm not even saying the U.S. started this one, because quite frankly, Nancy Pelosi, as imperfect as a human being as this is, she didn't do anything wrong. She didn't do anything wrong. She's allowed to go to the country. There's nothing wrong with that. China's the one overstepping here. And so we need to consider and really think about what kind of country is willing to make threats like this and take actions like this based on someone from the United States simply visiting the country. And yet we keep promoting them. We keep supporting them. We keep giving them more money. We go by going into debt, right? We keep buying their goods, and then we go to the Olympics. How on earth could that possibly happen? Xi Jinping is seeking a third term as Communist Party leader later this year. His control over the armed forces and what he has defined as China's, quote, core interests, end quote, including Taiwan, territorial claims in the South China Sea, and historic adversary Japan are key to maintaining his nationalist credentials. The military has said the exercises involving missile strikes, warplanes, and ship movements crossing the midline of the Taiwan Strait, dividing the sides, are a response to Pelosi's visit. So, no secrets there. Bit of an overreaction, don't you think? China has ignored calls to calm the tensions, and there was no immediate indication of when it would end, what amounts to a blockade. If this is how China responds to something like this, what would they do in a more serious situation? What would they do if we even attempted to break the relationship with them and stopped relying on them for so many things? It's kind of tough to say. Now, at the same time, the one interesting part about this is I would never promote war. And I think, generally speaking, we should try to avoid that at all costs. One of the things with that is, if China is willing to do this now, one of two things. Either they're very stupid, which I don't think they are. They're bluffing with intimidation tactics, also possible. Or they have a lot more than we realize. And I think that's also possible. I don't have an idea or a theory as to which one it is. I would assume that they'd be very willing to bluff. I wouldn't have really any doubts with that. We better hope to God that they're not more powerful than they already seem, because that would also be an issue. But at the same time, if somehow they're not more powerful than we think they are, we can take them out. We could win a war against them. And I don't know, my God, if this is the right administration to be doing something like this, because this is the same administration that is selling oil from our strategic reserves to China, or Chinese-owned companies, rather, that Hunter Biden totally wasn't involved in. Not a conspiracy theory. Just look it up. This is all factual information. You can find it easily available on any news source right now. Maybe it's not the administration to do it, but I kind of wonder, I'm like, would a hopefully mild as war can be, would a hopefully mild war be a good thing? Would this be something where we can kind of tone China down right now and push them back a little bit? I don't know. But again, I don't think China is ever going to go down without a fight. I do think they'd be willing to bluff, but I also very much believe that they have a lot more than they claim to have. And so who actually wins in a war in today's world? No one really, right? We're shooting back and forth. There's nukes going off. That wouldn't be good if people actually did the war at the most extreme level, right? Of course, I'm not saying every war right now is resulting in nukes going off. That's ridiculous. And so I don't think they want that, but we will see. Just something to think about, okay? On Monday, Chinese Foreign Ministry spoke... this news article is from today, by the way. So this is very recent. On Monday, Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Wang Wenbin said China would, quote, firmly safeguard China's sovereignty and territorial integrity, resolutely deter the U.S. from containing China with the Taiwan issue, and resolutely shatter the Taiwan authorities' illusion of relying on the U.S. for independence, end quote. Asked in Dover, Delaware on Monday about China's response to Pelosi's visit, U.S. President Joe Biden said, "I'm not worried, but I'm concerned they're moving as much as they are." What does that mean? What does that mean? I'm not worried, but I'm concerned that they're moving as much as they are. But I don't think they're going to do anything more than they are. And fair enough. I do think that's at least a very legitimate possibility that this is a bluff. But at the same time, it almost doesn't matter. It's the fact that they are clearly willing to engage in this if we engaged back, over something so small. And there's so many bigger problems in China that we should be focusing on. So what happens when someone else comes in, hopefully, into this presidency in 2024 and actually wants to do something about China? And no, that is not a push for Trump, which some people will like to say. Everyone keeps forgetting that comments, that kind of stuff to me, that I did not vote for Trump in either of the elections that you could have voted in him for. Or for him in. But yes, Trump would probably be someone that goes against China. Ron DeSantis, who I would greatly support, would be someone who would probably go for China. And before anyone gets mad at the Ron DeSantis comment, because really there's only, I mean, unless you just generally are so unreasonable that you hate generic conservatives or generic liberals in general, which I don't, because I am technically a liberal still, at least registered, who supports Ron DeSantis. The only reason that you really could hate him is because of the Don't Say Gay bill thing. And I was very upset about that at first too, because I'm like, are you kidding me? He's one of these conservatives. And then you read the bill and you realize, wow, this is such, it's so insulting on the media's end that they actually believe people are this stupid that they wouldn't read the bill. And yet, you know what? Hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people went around sharing the Don't Say Gay thing. I got tricked by it temporarily because they did just that. They didn't read the bill. This has nothing to do with LGBTQ communities. It has zero to do with that at all. And in fact, even as a liberal, I'm someone who would be a little more strict with the policies that Ron DeSantis said. So I guess I'm a bigot then too, because that had nothing to do with the Don't Say Gay thing that it was supposed to have something to do with. And so we're going to actually have an episode where I read bills like that, and I'm going to do it for Democrats as well, times that they get misrepresented and are being told that they're doing one thing. We're going to read the bills and actually figure out what was said in the things that they supported. Okay. Where were we? Okay. We were talking about Joe Biden and what he said. China's slowing economic growth, which has reduced options among migrant workers as well as college graduates, has raised the specter of social unrest. The party has maintained its power through total control of the press and social media, along with the suppression of political opponents, independent lawyers, and activists working on issues from online free speech to LGBTQ rights. Does that sound like anywhere you know? China doesn't allow public opinion polls, and popular opinion is hard to judge. However, it generally skews in favor of the government and its efforts to restore China's former dominant role in the region that puts it in conflict with the United States and its allies, including Japan and Australia. Taiwan's defense ministry said Sunday it detected a total of 66 aircraft and 14 warships conducting the naval and air exercises. The island has responded by putting its military on alert and deploying ships, planes, and other assets to monitor Chinese aircraft, ships, and drones that are, quote, simulating attacks on the island of Taiwan and our ships at sea, end quote. So at the very least, this is straight up bullying. Very intimidating and scary behavior. Can you imagine if you're on this relatively little island of Taiwan? I mean, comparatively speaking to the country of China, right? And they're doing these types of things because you had a speaker from the United States come in and visit the country for a very short period of time. That's the type of country that China is. Meanwhile, Taiwan's official central news agency reported that Taiwan's army will conduct live fire artillery drills in southern Pingtung County on Tuesday and Thursday in response to the Chinese exercises. The drills will include snipers, combat vehicles, armored vehicles, as well as attack helicopters, said the report, which cited an anonymous source. It's just such a shame, too, because I get that we have to have a military, especially in today's world with how these other countries act and how we act, because we put ourselves out there a lot in ways that we shouldn't. So we're going to need to defend that maybe one day. But how are we at such just a low state of mind, such a simpleton state of mind that even in our developed countries, we are threatening other human beings' lives with things like this? How are we so stupid that we allow racism? How are we so stupid that we do allow lack of rights for people that are lesbian or gay? I don't understand it at all. Never makes sense to me. The Taiwan president has called on the international community to, quote, support democratic Taiwan, end quote again, halt any escalation of the regional security situation, end quote. The group of seven industrialized nations has also criticized China's actions, prompting Beijing to cancel a meeting between Foreign Minister Wang Yi and his Japanese counterpart, Yoshimasa Hayashi. China has cut off defense and climate talks with the U.S. and imposed sanctions on Pelosi in retaliation for her visit. In Washington, Taiwanese de facto ambassador B. Kim, can't even pronounce the last name, it's H-S-I-A-O, said China had no reason to be so furious over Pelosi's visit, which follows a long tradition of American lawmakers visiting Taiwan. And I do agree with that. At the very least, it is an incredibly over-dramatized reaction and one that's quite scary. Quote, well, you know, we have been living under the threat from China for decades, HSIAO told CBS News on Sunday. If you have a kid being bullied at school, you don't say you don't go to school. You try to find a way to deal with the bully. Fair enough. Colin Cowell, the U.S. Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, told reporters Monday that Beijing's reaction to Pelosi's visit was a manufactured crisis, noting that the U.S. policy toward Taiwan and China remains unchanged and that Congress is an independent body of government. I totally agree with that, that this is manufactured. I think this is something that they wanted. They want a flex. They want a problem. They want a reason to start something, especially while Joe Biden is president. Because what is he going to do? What is he going to do, really, if China does something? And again, didn't vote for Trump, but man, if this was the one singular situation that I would ever choose him over Biden, so black and white so easily, man, it would be this one. Now, once again, it's amazing how long these things end up taking. But we're going to talk about China's secret loans for the last 9-10 minutes on this show today. And this is something you really need to understand. For decades, hundreds of billions of yuan in foreign loans have served to fuel China's commercial. I should have learned that word from last time. I learned the word. I didn't learn how to pronounce it. I believe it's hegemony and geopolitical influence around the world. But this record amount of capital export to the rest of the world is not sufficiently recorded, let alone understood. The huge flows of Chinese capital to the world are not reported to the IMF, the BIS, or the World Bank. Among other things, because China does not belong to any of these institutions. Moreover, the terms of the credit agreements are generally secret. China obliges to borrowers to repay Chinese state-owned banks before other creditors. This is evidenced by a study of a set of Chinese loan contracts to developing countries. Chinese loans serve two fundamental purposes. On the one hand, they secure a market for their products. On the other, they oblige the borrower to have a due regard for the Chinese government and its policies. That is probably the biggest one. I don't think they really care about the former, not at least from the smaller countries that they are involved in. From us, I do believe they care about that. Japan, sure, some of the smaller ones, we're talking, you know, under $100 million sometimes, but that's a lot to these countries. So it's actually about controlling the country and imposing policies than it is anything else. And please, I need you to understand why this is so important. They're already showing clear evidence that they are trying to do that, trying to impose policies on other countries that they can get control of. So then this is not a Republican thing, a Democrat thing. It's not a political side thing. It's using common sense. If China is willing to impose their policies in a very manipulative way on other countries, why would we be respecting them and giving them more and more control over time? That's what I don't understand. Why are we so arrogant as to think that they're not trying to do the same thing here? And just remember, if you're going to try to take down the U.S., at this time at least, you don't do it by invading with a bunch of guns, okay? You don't do it by sending a nuke over. That'd be a pretty bad idea if you want to control it. You could eliminate it that way, I suppose. Not through one nuke, of course, but you could cause pretty big backlash. What you would probably want to do is destroy it from the inside out. And how would you do something like that? Maybe a virus gets released and there's a bunch of propaganda. Maybe you leave incredibly open borders that are now so open that if you didn't see this, even Joe Biden's administration is going back to seal up the parts that the Trump administration did not finish. And did you see the other day how they responded to that question when asked about, you said there would not be, because this is what Joe Biden said, not one more foot of that wall would be built at any time. And so they said, well, you're building the wall. What's going on? They said they're cleaning up Trump's mess. That's a really funny way to put it. And by the way, to be clear, I don't want to say completely against the wall because I didn't really know anything about it. I just thought it was stupid. I'm like, why would we waste resources with this? But have you seen what's happened since this new presidency took place? Guys, there are hundreds of thousands of illegal people entering this country right now. We don't know who all of those are. Some of them are great people. Some of them are not so great people. The point is, we don't know. We don't have a way to document it. And with the amounts that are coming in, who's to say that there's not just people that are trying to get out of Mexico coming in? What if it's a lot more than that? What if it's people from China or Russia that don't have the best intentions for the country? ADATA, a U.S. research lab at the College of William and Mary, along with other research centers, analyzed a data package compiled over 3 years. That data was drawn from about 100 Chinese loan contracts entered into with 24 low- and middle-income countries. This section is called the world's largest lender. Many of these countries are dragging heavy financial burdens, as is the case of Venezuela, while struggling with poverty derived from the prevailing political system and the dramatic economic situation resulting from governmental blunders and the pandemic of Chinese origin. Okay, so by the way, before when I said release a virus, I guess I should have disclaimed that. I don't mean that in some conspiracy theory type of way. Maybe it was. I have no idea. I'm not making that claim is my point. It came from China. The virus came from China. And what also happened when it came from China is they had a lot of propaganda around this. These are factual things. The Chinese government, you might remember this if you watched the news in the beginning of the pandemic, and I know things happened pretty quickly, so it might be tough to recall everything, but you might remember this one. One of the reasons I was such a big advocate of N95s in the beginning of the pandemic, just being super safe and not going anywhere, I was a huge freak about it, was because China was sending videos to other countries, which we had on our news, of people dropping dead, supposedly dropping dead, in the middle of the street due to COVID-19. Now, COVID-19's been in this country, as far as we know, for at least 2.5 years and possibly longer. Have you ever, as extreme as this virus is, have you ever heard of one person dropping dead in the middle of the street because of COVID-19? I haven't either. So either COVID is just somehow magically different in China, or it was propaganda. And if the video is, this is the craziest part, if that video is not fake, then what did kill that person? That one I have no answer for or anything to give with that. China is playing hard to become the world's leading economic power. For this reason, it is the focus of attention of the think tanks. The Asian giant is currently the world's largest lender and creditor with 65% of the total bilateral debt distributed in Latin America, Africa, Eastern Europe, and Asia. 65%. The problem is that despite being the world's largest lender, we lack basic data on the terms and conditions of its loans. As the report's authors, including law professor of Georgetown University in the U.S., point out, well, that was the point. Sorry, I used the wrong tone with that. China's debtor countries, debt balance as a percentage of GDP, and then, so we have a little list here, which is not going to be very easy to see on the video. But what we're looking at here for those listening on the podcast or the radio is you have countries here where, I said 80% of the GDP for the top country. It's actually, if I break this down, it looks like it's just around 94 or 95% of that country. So they own it pretty much. And there are probably 15 on here that are just around 20%, if not more, of their GDP. How China guarantees refunds. We'll spend the last little bit on this. Researchers from Aid Data, the Peterson Institute for International Economics, the Center for Global Development in Washington, and the Kiel Institute in Germany benchmarked the terms of Chinese loan contracts against those of other major international lenders. From this emerged a first systematic assessment of the legal terms of China's loan-based foreign relations, CGD said. The study's findings highlighted several unusual features of the loans. And since I only have a couple minutes here left on the radio section, let me just tell you what it is. So what they've done is they give these loans to countries that are either beyond desperate or have corrupt leaders, or in their perfect world, both. And they know they can't pay the loan. And so when they can't pay the loan, they don't come for the money. They don't care about the money. They didn't literally care about it. What they wanted to do was own something. So now either that country has to do what we listed in the beginning and start applying policies and ways of living that China enforces, or they're going to give them ports. So sometimes these are just ports of entry, they're ports of trade, major things that are essential for the country's survival anyway, and very big for China if they want to, ever just start taking over some more countries. Not a conspiracy theory, just a fact. And this has been going on for a couple decades. Now, I don't want to end on bad news. I never like doing that. The point of stuff like this is not to fear monger or scare people or do anything of the sort. But sometimes you need to just be blunt and get straight to the point, because we need a minor amount of fear. I don't want you to be feeling that all day. There's no reason for that. But you need a little bit sometimes to kick us in the right direction. We got to get moving here. When November comes around, because we have a lot of, local enough elections, I should say, I don't care if you are a Democrat. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care if you're anything in between or something completely new. You want to vote for a half-sane person, at least a half-sane person, who is going to do something or promote what's going on with China. And promote it, I mean publicize it, not literally promote it, right? That's what we need to vote for. I'm looking forward to talking to you guys again next week. If you'd like to follow full episodes or see the video, check us out on YouTube or anywhere you podcast. Just search for the Politics and Personal Development Show. There are a lot more episodes out there. There's Finance Friday. There's personal development segments anywhere that's not the radio. So go make sure you check those out. And I will see you guys next week. Thank you so much for tuning in.